You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. I am so delighted to have you here. My name is Jen Duplessis. I'm your host. And today I have with me Stuart Webb. He's coming all the way from the UK, you know, because I'm here in the US. So for me, it's all the way. For those of you that are listening overseas, you're saying, hey, he's right in my, you know, my backyard. But Stuart Webb, let me tell you a little bit about him. His early background as a scientist is very different from most people in this field, and it gave him the foundation to underpin consistent success, regardless of the type of business that he's supporting. A vital discipline for a scientist is ensuring work is repeatable, meaning a system, right? And that you've tested it over and over. This has given him a unique, proven approach to providing robust thinking and unbreakable formulas as the foundations for business growth. And I totally love that. He mentors ambitious business owners and managers to dramatically increase business value through sustained leads, recurring profits, and well-motivated teams. So, man, this is right up my alley. Welcome to the show, Stuart. We are so happy to have you.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much indeed. And it's great to be with you.
Thank you so much. So, you know, I want to get started. I love that you were a scientist, and I know you're going to tell us a little bit about that story. I was pre-med for Colorado State University. I was going to be a cardiologist. So there's a scientist in me as well. And I know that scientists in our thought patterns were very systematic in our approaches. So I imagine you're going to be telling us about how to put some systems together, or have some templates for creating this robust business that we have. So let's get started with, how did you make the transition from being a scientist into helping businesses? Where did that start for you?
So what happened, Jen, was I was on a path to become an investigator in a virology lab. I was actually starting my career in the place which actually has recently been involved in creating a COVID vaccine. And, you know, really, I just came to the conclusion that for me, the excitement of working with businesses was so appealing. And it largely started because I got involved in trying to help teach medical students, and I wanted to do it in a more interactive way. And I reached across to somebody who was developing some stuff on the internet, and I thought, this internet thing is great, and I really wanted to get involved in it. And I spent more and more time doing that. And eventually somebody said to me, they said, look, do you really want to spend your time doing what I was doing, which is becoming a lecturer? Or would you prefer to do something like you're doing with this internet? And I went, yeah, I've really got to go and do it. And I leapt into it because it just felt so fresh and exciting to me. And that's how I started. And I helped to start an internet startup, sold that. Then I moved on to starting other businesses. And, you know, it was that background as a scientist, which I really thought was going to hamper me. I thought it was going to be the thing which held me back, because you were right. You were saying that as scientists, we have this rigorous systems process, and we think about making things very repeatable so we can do it again and again and again. And I thought, when I looked around at all of the great business leaders, you know, the people like Steve Jobs and such like, they didn't seem to have that going. They would just be spontaneous, and they'd go off and do something what looked like exciting. And I'd think, hey, I've got to throw all of that away. I've got to throw away all of this stuff that I've learned for the last 10 to 11 years. And I really, really tried to stop being systematic. And then I realized, as I got into more and more businesses, that actually, even the innovation is all about having a really well-established process that you can just say, if we do this, it guarantees success, we do it again.
Yeah.
And I then had to reincorporate everything that I thought I had to throw away. And I started developing those really systematic tools and templates. I thought that's the way that I was going to grow businesses. And it proved to be really successful.
That's beautiful. I love that. So I know that you were talking about, three things about sustainable leads, reoccurring profits, and well-motivated teams. So in the time that we have together today, what I'd really like to talk about is sustained leads, because I just got back this morning from a speaking engagement and, with 400 entrepreneurs in Chicago, Illinois, and I think that the biggest problem that entrepreneurs and small business owners have is getting leads. They're turning people off because they're trying to get them. In fact, I met a woman there, and I don't even have a relationship with her. She just came up to me and said, "What do you do?" And I said, "This is what I do." Well, actually, I said, "I do a lot of things." And she said, "Well, I don't do anything. I do passive income. You have to invest with me. Here is my card." And I was so turned off by it because I don't have a relationship with her. She doesn't know that I'm already an investor. She knows nothing about me. She just wants, she was taking and not giving. And I think that what happens is that entrepreneurs get in a space where they're so panicked that all they do is reach and, claw at people. And there's got to be a better way to do that. And so I can't wait to hear about what these sustained leads are, because we get shots of leads. When you go to a networking event, you might get some leads, but that's not why you're going to networking, right? It's to identify a partner, but you get those boosts of leads. But how do you keep those sustained leads for the average, small business owner and entrepreneur?
I think that you're right there, Jen, and I recognize a lot of those people that are just reaching out and grabbing hold of anything they can get hold of. And I think there are three secrets that I talk to businesses about. The first is that you need to have a controllable lead flow. There's no point in saying I go from feast to famine. All right, I'm really busy. I'm not going to do any marketing because I'm really busy doing stuff. And then you suddenly discover 3 weeks later that you've been busy, but you've done no marketing for 3 weeks. So now you're going to get back into the marketing game and start marketing. And you go from feast to famine. So I always say to them, look, you have to have this controllable lead flow. You have to be having leads coming to you all the time. Yeah, you can dial it down a little, but if you stop it completely, you will always have this feast and famine. So the first thing is have controllable lead flow. Make sure that your lead funnels and all the things that you're working with are always turned on, and you dial them up and dial them down. Maybe you start sort of feeding in fewer prospects or whatever, but you don't ever turn them off. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the second thing that I often say to people is you will find that your leads are going to be 10 times more successful if you invest time, effort, money into relationships. There is no point in doing what everybody does on LinkedIn, which is the first time that you sort of see somebody's name, you just throw them a buy from me, just like you've just said.
Yeah.
You have to reach out to them and say, look, let's have a conversation. I myself reach out to 4 or 5 people on LinkedIn every single week and just say, is there a business problem that you would like some help with at the moment? I'm not pitching for business. I've just got ideas. And if you've got a problem, you'd like somebody to just listen to you and help to discuss it, I'll spend a few minutes passing messages backwards and forwards on LinkedIn. That has paid off in dividends, because those people, I've not reached out and tried to sell them anything. They know that when they do have a real problem, they can come to somebody, and I have got clients from that. So that's the other thing. And the other thing that I often say to them is this controllable lead flow, but the secret is, and this is something that we all struggle with, We all hate selling. Let's be honest with each other.
We don't like to be sold. We don't like selling. Yeah, none of us.
We don't like selling. Yeah. We struggle with this because, as scientists, we're not people that sort of automatically want to go out. But do you know something? I often say to them, the secret is to really understand what the problem is that your prospect has. And if you can then clearly identify, and this is far easier to say than it is to do, but if you can clearly identify what is the solution to that problem, you don't have to sell. What you do is you just reach across and whisper in their ear and say, I have a solution to that problem. Would you like it? And people will not be asking for the price. They will be saying, how do I get the problem solved? So, you know, it's about building those relationships. It's about properly understanding what the problem is that you solve and how you solve it. And it's about making sure you don't stop it just because you're busy. Using that controllable lead flow, the dial that I often think about. I often draw this on boards when I'm in front of the board of directors or whatever. Yeah. And I sort of talk to them about, here's the dial, you turn it up and down, but you never turn it off.
Yeah, I love that. And by the way, I just want everyone to hear this again, that you said, you know, I love that you lean across, it's metaphoric, I get it. You lean across, you whisper and say, I have a solution. Would you like to hear about it? That's so much easier than, oh, I can fix your problem.
Yeah.
Take out your wallet in so many ways. Yeah. And it just seems a little pushy. Yeah. I love that. Okay. But go ahead.
And you know, that goes into the next thing, Jen, which is once you've got into the situation where you're doing that with somebody, you're no longer having a price discussion. You're having a value to your business discussion, which makes the whole pricing problem go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I think people think that everyone leads with price, and you know, it's not true. I mean, you can Google this. I mean, if you want to go the gospel of Google, right, you can Google this, but it's you first, maybe your company, right? If you work for a company, if you're in a sales position, but you first, then your company, then the product, then the price, and then the process. And people go right for price every single time, and they lose all those opportunities to create the relationship. I want to go back to controllable lead flow. If you can talk about that a little bit, how does one do controllable lead flow? You happen to allude to the fact that, you know, it might be online. Everything might be online. Can we do a little online and a little offline on how to do that?
So for me, I think there's an awful lot of value to online stuff nowadays. We can all use the tools that are online and get a much better sense of exactly who's buying, but a huge amount of the lead generation I'm doing at the moment has come actually through some really old-fashioned techniques. I have started advising some of my clients to start with a mail, a letter. You know, the letter with the stamp on it. It's one great way of getting in front of prospects at the moment. And the reason it's a great way is because so few people get many mail letters anymore. You know, they used to be a day not so long ago when you'd get hundreds of these every week. Most of them would be rubbish and you'd throw them away in the trash and you'd never see them again. And you'd only get one or two emails and you'd be really interested in those emails because those emails were novel. Now it's reversed. We get hundreds of emails, most of which we just hit and trash. But a letter, an actual typed letter with a name on it and a nice envelope and a stamp on it, that actually is getting attention. And I send probably four or five letters to prospects explaining what I do. And yes, I might include a landing page within that letter to say, come and check out the landing page. But that letter gets opened. And you can use techniques to improve the sort of the open rate of that letter and make it more effective. But letters are getting really, really good response rate. And I've really been pleased with that. And that's just something that you sit and go, well, how can that be? Because it's back to being novel.
Yeah. I think that's really good. Yeah. And incorporating the technology into the letter, like the QR code to scan or something like that, you know, where you're giving them more information. Maybe you have 15 steps to something and you give them three in the letter. And then you say for the other steps, go here and do. Okay. So you've done that. Are you back to doing networking at all? Are you out networking again? Or have you found that because I know I'm getting more invitations to networking events that are happening locally and I can't go to them because I travel so much, but I'm just getting them.
You know? There are a lot more networking events. I will say that one of the best techniques, if you're going to be networking, you know, you and I are talking at the moment on video. People are still very nervous, but I think one of the things that I find really effective is being able to get up in front of a group of people and talk. Mm-hmm. If you've got the ability And so many people have the ability, but they're fearful of doing it. It's really not as difficult as you think. But if you can get up and do a 10-minute talk in front of a group of people, you will command some more authority. So when it comes to networking, I'm a great fan of saying to people, yeah, go to the networking event, but make sure that if there's an opportunity in order for you to give a small talk about your business, even 8 or 10 minutes long, where you can talk about what your business is. And going back to that, that's the thing that I said, where you can describe the problem that you solve and how you solve it. If you can get up in front of a room and just do 8 or 10 minutes, just explaining that, it will pay dividends.
Yeah, that's some one-to-many rule, right? It's
absolutely right.
We don't have all this infinite energy or time. So, you know, I actually talk about this with my clients as sponsor to speak. You know, if there is an event, hey, are you looking for a sponsor? Even a $250 sponsor is to speak for 5 quick minutes and say, oh, I'd love to sponsor and I'd love to speak for 5 quick minutes just so I can do the one-to-many is so much better than spending $40 to go, right? To spend 40 or pounds, whatever your currency is, spending money to go and running around like a chicken with your head cut off trying to meet people. You know, I'd rather spend the $250 and then, you know, have that credibility and that authority. Yeah. So I totally agree with that. Yeah. And you know, when you go to networking, it's a small group like that, it's not that intimidating. You know,
no. And, you know, once going back to that, you know, you're building up to when you sponsor, and you stand up in front of a group, if it takes a little bit of practice where you start by going and just speaking in front of 5 or 6 people, and then you build it to 10 and then 20, very soon you will have got the sort of got the bravery to stand in front of a room of 200 people, do exactly what you said. You stand up for 5 minutes of those 200 people, 5, 6, 10 will come and just say, can I just have a conversation? Yeah. The big secret that I've seen so many times that I don't understand, people will turn around and they'll say they'll do their thing and they get off the stage. At least at the end of it, just make sure you've got that great call to action. If you'd like to know more, you know, so many people get off the stage because they want to get their pitch over and they want to run away. Just remember, if you'd like to learn more, come and see me. Give me your business card. We'll have a conversation next week or whenever you've got the opportunity. Calls to action are something, it's another thing I talk a lot about to people. Calls to action are so poorly used by people. Mm-hmm. I worry so much about business owners who just don't remember what the call to action is about. It means calling that person to take the next step. Don't ask them to make anything complicated. Ask them to make a very small step. Hand me your business card. Just let me know what you need to talk about. Don't ask them to fill out a form that's 15 pages long and ask them sort of deep discussion and questions. Just give them one small step because they can take a small step, but also let them know what will happen next. I often say this to people that I'm working with. They'll go, well, if they give me their card, that's it. And I went, no, tell them what you'll do. Tell them, give me your card. I will call you next week. Because then somebody goes, okay, it's not a big problem. It's not a big commitment. I'm not having to sacrifice $10,000 at the moment. I'm just giving him a business card and he will call me next week. I can make that step. So make that call to action really simple, really small, and tell them what will happen.
Yeah. I love it. And you're right. That's the biggest thing is call, you know, some type of call to action. And it can be that I'm having an event next week, come and, you know, spend time at the event. So yeah, thank you for finishing that up. Right. And we're not here in this particular podcast this episode to talk about what do you say in the 5 minutes that you're there. You know, it's just a basic introduction of yourself and, you know, who you help, what's in it for them. Right? What's in it for them? Not what's in it for me. What's in it for them? And that call to action is real simple. Okay. So that's a couple of things for offline, right? Is sponsoring to speak in the networking, maybe doing some new mailers that you haven't done in a really long time to just get to that person. What are some things that you're doing now to create this sustainable, consistent lead flow online?
So the two things that I'm speaking a lot to people about at the moment is you must make sure that your landing page is a really high conversion landing page. There's no point in putting up a landing page without it really sort of hitting home. And there are a number of elements that I talk about. And we've talked about formulas, so I'm just going to sort of give the formula here. The formula for a great landing page. I believe there are 9 elements that have to go on a landing page. I'm not going to give them all to you now. You will be bored for the next 2 hours whilst I explain them all. But let me just give you some examples. You need to have good credibility builders. So that means what associations you're a membership of, you have membership with, those credentials that you need to make sure, but also testimonials from previous clients or patients or customers. Those really build the social proof that says, I want to speak to this person. You really do need to have a guarantee. What happens if I commit my business to you and you fail to deliver? How will you make sure that you don't do that? So you must have a guarantee. I also talk an awful lot to people about the fact that they really need to make sure that they're talking about the benefits. You said it just now, not about me, my business, how great I am, how good my solution is, but the benefit to you. I see so many people put this badly. They talk on and on about the features of their product or service. I don't care about the features of the product or service. I want to know, if I've got a problem, how will that benefit me if I've got your solution in my life? So please, on your high converting landing page, make sure you have got benefits to the customer. I won't go through the rest of them, but as I said, there are 9. Go through the benefits to the customer as key. Make sure you've got a guarantee that shows that if they trust you with your with their business, you will be able to deliver and you will make sure that you deliver. But also those social proofs, those people that you've worked with before that are screaming out and saying, I love what you've done. Yeah. And if you haven't got those testimonials at the moment, reach out to your previous customers. Just write them a short email saying, please, send me a short email, just talk about what I did for your business, how it helped, and please let me put it on my website.
Yeah, I think that's really good. You mentioned credibility, like the associations that you're in. I think one other aspect, at least for me, that I'm seeing is important for me, number one, as a consumer, but I'm also seeing that is, now starting to increase across the world, is what kind of charity or charitable involvement are you in? You know, do you have a logo that is on the side that just says, you know, X percent of proceeds go to serving X, Y, and Z? I mean, and the link can go to them, and then link can go to another landing page a little bit about how you volunteered. But I think those types of things are what people are looking for these days as well. So I would like to add that to it, but it may be that you already have it in there. Maybe that you don't, but I'd like to do that. So I think that's really good, high converting. But again, you've got to go to these networking events to get the people to go to those pages. What are some other ways, if you don't have infinite time, but you've got some money, where can you spend it?
So for me, the other way that I'm bringing people into these landing pages, I'm not doing, maybe you could be critical of this. I am not at the moment doing a huge amount of things on places like Facebook advertising or LinkedIn advertising or Google ads. The factors involved in that are many and complicated. Right. But when it comes to actually making sure that you've actually got putting some money into it, I have made a couple of really, and I would suggest this is another area, a thing that goes on to the landing page. If you've got a little bit of money, a good professional video goes a huge amount of way to demonstrating you as a human being, because, you know, well, one, Google does love video, but the other thing is that we all like to see the person that we're working with. So even the big businesses, we like to see they've got a personality. So a little bit of a professional video on a page goes a long way to making you look like a human being. It's a technique which I think is underused at the moment. I think it's getting more popular. We're all beginning to see it. We all do these sort of things, so we actually do it. The other thing that I really think that is worthwhile doing, as I said, is going back to that, you know, LinkedIn is a great source of people, great source of prospect. So spending some money on upgrading your LinkedIn to one of the sales navigators or professionals will allow you to reach out to more people. So that's another thing that I do actually think is worthwhile at the moment, because it allows you to get a better insight into the people that you could work with. So spend a little bit of money around that. It's certainly not at the moment that expensive, but it's still something which allows you to do a little bit of thing, a little bit of additional work there. But don't be afraid. I was talking to a social influencer the other day, and this person really shocked me. She told me there are 47 social networks out there. So don't think everything's on Facebook and
LinkedIn. I know.
There are a lot of social networks. Yeah. A lot of those have got really targeted niches. And we're getting to that niche thing again. If you're reaching out to a very specific person, you might find that they are gathered around a particular network. So maybe they're on Reddit, maybe they're on something in the UK we call Mumsnet, where there is a really active community.
Yeah.
If that's where your customer is and you know that's where they are, spend a bit of time getting to know them on that very tiny network, because once again, you're going to be coming in as a much bigger fish in a small pool as opposed to a very tiny fish in a very large pool.
Yeah, no, I love that. So for those that don't know a lot about LinkedIn, because I know a lot of people have been doing Facebook ads and things like that, so the sales navigation, these are upgrades and add-ons that you can have into LinkedIn that allow for you to literally go through and click and say, I want to meet men and women, business owners, less than 5 years, more than 5 years, who make this kind of money, who live in this kind of area, who have, teams or not teams. And it lets you go through and really hone in on who you're serving, mm-hmm. which is a really good practice, actually. It's a good, practice, because it helps you hone in on who you are helping. So you can get really clear on what your what solution or problem you're solving for them. So I think that's really good. Yeah.
And don't forget, Jen, you're absolutely right. You may approach one of those people today and they may not be in the market for your product or service. That doesn't mean they'll never be in the market for your product and service. So you have to make sure you put them back into the funnel to approach them again in a month, 2 months, 3 months, because people go in and out of the buying cycle a lot. I might not be wanting to buy a car today, but in 2 months' time, my car may break down. I may be in the market for a new vehicle. So I then need to make sure that, my contact is back with them 2 months from, saying, how's it going now? Any change in your circumstances? Because don't think that just because you've gone past and they've said no once, that's the end of the relationship. It's about that relationship again.
Yeah. It's interesting, because we all know that, you have to make 5 phone calls, and on the 6th call is when, and most people only make 3. I mean, we know all those numbers, but this really gets back to your 3 tips in the beginning, which is we have to develop that relationship. We have to be there for when the when happens, right? For when that buying
Absolutely
window happens.
Right.
And that's a buying window. And if you think about going through a window, you're approaching the window and then you go through it and then you're on the other side. You need to be there for when happens. And, so I love that you said, just keep going in and coming up with, different strategies. And I love what you're saying here. You have 9 high strategies for a high converting landing page. Well, heck, maybe that's 9 weeks or 9 months of, going in and instant messaging someone and saying reason number 7 and going out of order, right? Reason number 7, reason number 3 of my 9 ways, so that they're engaged and going, oh, hey, when's the next one coming out?
And you've got to remember that, what made sense today may not necessarily make sense tomorrow, and the other way around. Somebody may look at it and go, it just doesn't hit my buttons today, but their circumstances could change. You need to be constantly going back and reminding somebody. I think it was Winston Churchill, a one-time prime minister of the United Kingdom, who said you need to say something 7 times to hear somebody tell you they heard it once. There's no point in just saying something once. People are often distracted, may not resonate, it may be something that just doesn't hit them. But if you come back to them again and again and again, you may find that one thing comes back and says, oh yeah, that really resonates.
Well, it's funny when you said that, because I think I have to tell my husband things 7 times for him to hear.
I know that feeling, Jen. I know that feeling very well.
I've already told you 20 times. Well, maybe not 7. Maybe I've only told him 5. He needs a couple more times to hear it.
I definitely know that feeling. I definitely love that feeling.
I love that. Okay. As we finish up our time here together, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. Cause these are new ideas. I love these new fresh ideas. And for me, and I know you're all about innovating and, you know, I mean, I know that mail is not a fresh idea, but it's fresh again, right? So it is a possibility. And I love, you know, just some of the little things that you said. These are unbelievably great golden nuggets. Tell us a little bit about what it would be like if we were to come and spend a weekend with you in the UK. What are we going to be doing? I can tell you what you do when you come spend time with me, but what do we do on weekends? What do you do?
This weekend's going to be a particularly interesting weekend for me, actually. It's going to be filled pretty much with one thing that's happening. On Friday, I'm going to go and spend the entire day watching the game that we play in the summer over here called cricket.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and watch the England men's team play the India men's team. I'm going to spend
And I have a friend who's Indian who is all in love with
it.
He used to be a professional cricket player. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to be a really interesting Saturday. Yeah. I have to get up and I have to do some gardening. That allows me to go back out after I've done that. So I have to go and do some things in order to make my wife feel happy by going and doing some gardening. Saturday afternoon, I'm going to go out again and I'm going to watch my son play cricket. And he plays. So he's going to be playing Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday, we'll go to church. And then on Sunday afternoon, I will once again be watching a player from the team that I used to play, who is now a professional, and I'm going to be watching him play cricket. So I'm afraid this weekend is going to be
all of that.
Monday, I might have to do some work again, but for the weekend, it will just be about one thing, and that's it.
That's okay. That's a big cricket weekend. We have weekends where all we do is go to wineries. All weekend.
Well, you know, that might be next weekend. Let's see if I can arrange that. But this weekend, unfortunately, there's no wine. I did actually spend last weekend at a gin distillery. So that was interesting.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I learned
a lot about gin and how gin is made. And I now understand the definition of what is proof in alcohol terms.
Oh, yes.
Proof.
Yeah, when someone says the proof. I love it. And I learned about that too. I went down to Thomas Jefferson's, you know, from the US here, Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. I went to his house and we learned about proof as well. So I love that. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I understand he was a fellow of the Royal Society. He was very popular in London around the time that
he was a great scientist. Yeah. Oh, a great scientist. I mean, an architect, which I love as well. But yeah, he brought over a grape from France.
Yeah.
That now is sort of indigenous to the U.S. and it's called the Norton grape. But so I love asking that question because it's just nice to kind of jump into your world a little bit. Just like you were saying, you know, the videos are so important to really realize, you know, when I see your picture on your one sheet and then I'm talking to you and vice versa, you see my picture and then we're talking, you know, we start learning more about each other. And it's just nice to know what you're up to and what you do on any given weekend and have fun with. So last question I have is there a quote, is there a book that is a sort of a mantra for you that, you know, you live by on a daily basis or you always refer back to that you'd like to share with those listening?
So the one that I'm using a lot at the moment, because we're hearing a number of things that may disturb us, you know, the Fed has just raised interest rates, the Bank of England over here has just raised interest rates, and people look at it and go, oh, I'm wondering what's going on. I am saying to a lot of the business owners at the moment, quite a lot of them anyway, an old Chinese proverb, and that's dig the well before you're thirsty.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to encourage them not to wait until there are any problems in the business, but to start getting that controllable lead flow going now. You know, if they haven't got their perfect high converting landing page, if they haven't got the videos or anything else, don't wait until later on in the year when things start to feel bad. You put those in place now because you can always, as I say, dial down and just allow the leads to trickle in, but you cannot start them when the well starts to run dry. So dig your well now.
Yeah, I think that's beautiful. And I think that is also in line with the fact that inflation, you know, is here, is happening in the US. I don't know if it is over there, but, you know, we have so much inflation, and that means that you could lead to your own personal recession. And since we're, you know, recording this, I know we're releasing later, but I love at the end of every quarter, and I'm sitting here planning all this, I'm getting all my expenses put in and everything, is looking at every expense that you have on a quarterly basis, all those apps that we have the automatic everything's with on our phones, is looking at all those and seeing where you can reduce expenses, unnecessary expenses, to go a little more lean in preparation for what might be coming.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah, you know,
I love that.
It's too late to do it when you get there. Start planning now. And I think you're absolutely right. Start looking now at what you're doing for your leads. Start looking at what you're doing for your expenditure. Start asking yourself the question, what can I do to increase leads? What can I do to decrease expenditure? You'll always be in the right place in the economic cycle.
Right. And I know that that's something else you work on with people, is also the profits too. So dig the well before you're thirsty. I absolutely love it. And I've heard it before, but it's so good to hear right now. So thank you so much. And, you know, thank you so much, Stuart, for joining us today. I hope that you had a good time on this podcast. And
it's been great.
Yeah,
it's been
great. Good. And I'm going to be over in the UK in the fall, so we may have to connect. We're trying to get a little mastermind together of people that have been on my podcast.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Yeah.
And I'll take you to see a cricket match. You'll love it.
There we go. Really, that's what we're going to do, apparently. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I love it. Well, thank you again for joining us. And those of you that are listening in, thank you so much for joining us as well. We really appreciate you taking time out of your day. And, you know, go heed some of these, you know, take action. This is the call to action, right? I'm always about the call to action is, you know, try something new. Think about how you could start formulating something so that you can put it into concentration and create that momentum to get yourself to stability. And that's called the growth chart, right? The four stages of growth in a business. So put something into action. I hope you have a great day. And again, thank you for taking time to look and listen in. Please don't forget to follow us. And don't forget to go to YouTube and subscribe to our channel so that you can go back in and watch us too. Not just listen, but watch us as we move back and forth on these little Hollywood squares. So I'll catch you next time. Take care.
Oh, I did.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.